The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After her dream career fell apart, Kelly Minter found her place serving God in one of the most dangerous and unlikely locations on the planet.
I had an agenda, relationships that I wanted that the Lord said no to, you know, platforms that I wanted that He said no to. It was Him guiding me, and it finally came to that place of many places, of points of surrender and obedience and saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And then He delights you.
Next.
Such a privilege to talk to all of you and to talk to you. I wish you were here in the studio with us. Come join us on a taping. Call our office and say, when are you taping, who with, and we'd like to be with you. I'm James Robinson, and Betty and I welcome you to life today. I'm looking here at an interesting scene, and it's a very, it's a title that intrigues me because I'm fascinated by the power of a river. Mm. Matter of fact, I want to release a stream of living water, transforming truth all over the world. Beginning right here in America, we have such great need. Wherever the river runs, and this is an interesting story, how a forgotten people renewed my hope in the gospel. The writer, a forgotten people. It has something to do with the river. It's written by Kelly Minter. She's a gifted musician. Wonderful Bible teacher. I'm anxious to find out what this river did. Would you welcome Kelly Minter to life today? Kelly, glad to have you.
Thank you.
You and I have had a little conversation while we were visiting. You know that I'm very much impressed with the power of a river to bring forth life. And this one brought forth life because this is the Amazon, am I right?
Yes.
I want to know, how did it do it? Because there's a lot of challenges associated with Amazon, and there's a lot of remote areas and difficult to get to, and there are people that we didn't just Elizabeth Elliot, you know, tell us about it, but we know that it's tough. Mm-hmm. So how did, and this is the river you're talking about.
That's the river, and that's part of the boat that I've been on numerous times, sleeping in a hammock in that boat right there. So
tell me about it.
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing how spread out and how vast the Amazon, I believe it's something like 2,000 miles long. It's 250 miles wide, I believe.
Wow.
And it's like widest point. I mean, it's just it's amazing. And there are people. There are people that live all along that Amazon. And I asked this one jungle pastor one day, I said, here your village floods every single year. Every year the waters come up and they it covers your village. And I said, why do you stay? Why do you stay there? And his eyes just welled up, and he said, because there are lives there. Mm. Because there are lives there. And it, wherever the river runs, I mean, it's the gospel going as far to the ends of the earth. And I think sometimes when I'm in the jungle and I'm on that boat and it's in the middle of the night and I'm floating on the Amazon, I'm like, this is the end of the earth. This has got to be. I mean, this is the original middle of nowhere. But there are people there, and there are people whose lives are being changed by Jesus Christ in ways that I had never experienced in my own Christian, kind of had the Lord just kind of boxed in, you know, nicely, and love the Word of God and so blessed. But being there and seeing some of these people live out Christianity in a way that I'd never seen has just really changed me.
How did you come to go there? I mean, I'm curious to know, why did you ever end up going to the, to this middle of nowhere?
Exactly. I'm trying to figure that out.
You could have gone shopping, you know? I mean, somebody would go shopping with you.
Somebody would have, and I wouldn't have needed a hammock or a boat to do it. But, actually, that's such an interesting question because it's not what I would have ever chosen. It's not what I would have picked. I had my sights in my 20s on this big music career, and I signed a record deal, moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and I was going to be famous and rich for Jesus. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody else ever wanted to do that, but and I was so excited, and the Lord spent a good 7 years just humbling me, and I wasn't famous, I wasn't rich, I wasn't having any influence, and just a lot of broken dreams in the music business, and such a painful time for me, among many other things that were going on in my life that were very difficult, very hard. And as a result, I ended up meeting this man in the music business that had a real heart for the Amazon. And I signed a record deal with that company, and I thought, okay, here I am. They've got some of the biggest worship leaders in the on the globe, signed a record deal, and didn't realize that the Lord was just tricking me to get me down
to
the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it had nothing to do with my career in music. And what's so amazing is that man, John Pacalabo, behind some of the greatest, truly greatest worship songs of our day, like In Christ Alone and Blessed Be Your Name and Here I Am to Worship, he passed away 14 months ago of cancer, and essentially handed the ministry over to a group of dear friends, and now all of a sudden here I am going to the Amazon jungle, and I realized this really wasn't about me and my big venture and plan. And yet the beauty is that the Lord has so delighted my heart in the process. Mm-hmm. And I've sung, and I was telling you earlier, I got to sing to a woman that was my age in a hut, and I'm telling you, in the middle truly of nowhere, little village called Jarki, and this woman has been hanging from a hammock her entire life. She was born with cerebral palsy. And I walked in, and they asked if I could sing a song for her. A believer in Jesus, no speech, but huge smile, has heard the gospel, understands. And I started singing, and I just lost it. I mean, I was weeping. I mean, as hard as I have wept. And, you know, one of my friends looked at me and was like, we're actually here to encourage, you know, here to bring the joy, the life, you know. But there was so much wrapped up in those tears, but I what a humbling opportunity.
Could you see in her demeanor, her countenance, a peace that amazed you?
Oh, I mean, she would smile so big and just rotten, gnarled teeth, hands turned in, but the biggest smile, loves us being there. And I realized here I was in my own flesh and ambition trying to go after this big career that I thought mattered and that was going to make me happy. And it was like in that moment, the Lord's like, this is where the fulfillment is when you're just walking in my will and in my way. Mm-hmm. And I just would have never thought that I would find such joy there and heartache and heartbreak, but also people encouraging me in my faith in ways that I just could have never imagined.
You were moved, I could imagine, by the love of the missionaries for all these different people in these remote places. Like you said, that pastor wouldn't leave no matter mm-hmm. how difficult the challenges. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about, you know, singing to that girl, mm-hmm. I just really feel, you know, inclined to look at all of you who are, you're looking in on this scene, and I think you say, well, that's really good. But I think maybe you would ask what I ask sometimes. I say, Lord, you can heal people, you know, make her move. And he can. Mm-hmm. And you know, he does. And I've actually seen him take crippled limbs. And I actually saw him heal a person that was totally paralyzed. And they actually got up and walked with tremendous atrophy because they had no real muscle structure. Mm. But, you know, they had been paralyzed 20 years and they walked. And I saw that, and I've seen blind eyes open. And yet I will ask the Lord, you know, why don't we do it all the time?
Yes.
I don't understand. And here's what I've learned, because I know if I'd have been there, I'd have gone over and blessed her and prayed for her. And I said, Lord, did you get this lady out of this hammock, you know? Mm-hmm. And by the way, see, if we go ahead and do that, because it was when I just said, well, I'll go for it. I saw somebody who couldn't talk start talking perfectly.
Wow.
It amazed them, amazed me. I've seen things happen, like tumors go away. What I learned is just go ahead and do it. And by the way, if you don't have like a healing reputation, it's even more effective. You say, oh, boy, he just loves to show up. Nobody expects it. Mm-hmm. And by the way, when they do get well, don't go buy a tent, okay? And say, got a healing ministry going now. No, just say, just praise God and say, Lord, just show everybody. But here's the thing, Kelly, it's so important for people to realize that God hasn't failed if they don't get up.
No.
Because a lot of times people who can't get up got more get up in them than we do who are standing up.
Well, and what
because
does Paul
the glory's
say?
In them.
Paul says that our sufferings here are not going to be to be compared with the glory that we're going to
exactly
have.
Right.
And I think that was part of my tears was that I realized that this is so tragic and so difficult, but the glory, this is a flash, this is a vapor. And he says, as hard as it is here, is not even going to be able to be compared to what we will have in eternity.
That's right.
It reminds me too, I agree. I mean, these people have taught me so much about healing prayer and the miracles, and we need
sure.
to do it. We need to
Absolutely.
Go after
Trust
it.
God.
But the soul of these people, that's what they want more than anything.
Absolutely.
They want the freedom and the peace of Jesus. And I remember there was this one, we stopped in a school that the water was coming up and was just about to get into the school. And see, unfortunately, when the water comes up, so do the caiman, which is their crocodile. Mm-hmm. So do the anaconda. They're looking for dry spaces. So a lot of these people sleep with their machetes in their hands. I mean, it's very tragic when the water comes up. But I was singing in a school, and all the kids were so happy because they were young and they're just used to it, you know? They're used to the water and the caiman. But there was this one, about 12-year-old boy, and he was so somber and so solemn. And I really believe the Holy Spirit just pointed him out to me and told me in my heart as I was leading, here's a leader, here's a leader. But I couldn't figure out why he was so upset or what was going on. And I grabbed him afterward and grabbed my interpreter over, this wonderful woman that translates for us. And I started asking him questions, and he said, yeah, the water's about to come into my house. I'm the second oldest of 10. My oldest brother is gone. My dad is gone. And all the responsibility falls to me, and he's 12 years old. Mm. And so immediately I go into that American mindset. How can I fix this? We can build you a new house. We can jack the house up. We've got construction guys here. We can get you food. We can get you a canoe. You know, I'm thinking of all my things. And after all, and he's kind of nodding like, okay. And then I say to him, I said, hey, I wanted to let you know that when I was singing, the Lord pointed you out to me, and I just think you're supposed to be a leader. And I started asking him about if he's involved in the church and his faith and all that. And after we were done, he didn't care about the money, the house, the clothes. He said, no one has ever seen me before. God has sent you to see me.
Wow.
And I thought that's what the world wants. And you all were talking earlier about how we are, no matter whether we go to China or the Amazon or across the street, that we will see everybody as made in the image of God and someone who needs mm-hmm. a Savior. And that's what people are crying out for. I thought he wanted all of our stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, the stuff maybe. And that's all helpful. And we need to be sacrificed and we need to be giving.
Sure.
But what we want is God to see us. And it made me think of Hagar in the desert and the angel coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagar saying, Lord, you're the God who sees. And I think that's what the Amazon has helped me do is be back here in the States and see who is the Lord sending me to. And, kind of wherever that river runs.
Well, I think as I listen to your story, what is so beautiful to me, first of all, is just to see how you just, the glow about your life, you know, and how you're so excited. I mean, who would be excited about going to the Amazon, you know?
Come on, Betty, I can get you excited about it.
But it's because you're in His will.
Mm-hmm.
You're where He wants you to be. And you feel safe because it is dangerous. Just from the little you've described, it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. But you have peace there in the midst of all that because you're where He wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference. If we can find in our own lives what it is God has put us here for and where He wants us to be, it makes all the difference in the world.
And isn't it funny that I have so much more peace when I'm right in the middle of the Lord's will, even if there happen to be some like crocodile around, then
that's better than a lot of churches.
Well, hey, now I did not say
that.
That's scary.
I tell you, churches can be pretty scary.
You'll sleep with machetes, right? But I fought His will for so much. I had an agenda, relationships that I wanted that the Lord said no to. You know, platforms that I wanted that He said no to. And not that the Lord is the Lord of no. He's the Lord of yes, too. Mm-hmm. But it was Him guiding me. And it finally came to that place of many places, of points of surrender and obedience and saying, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll go wherever You want me to go. And then He delights you.
Yeah.
He really does. And I'm just as surprised as you are. That just never was on my agenda. I promise you, the Amazon was never on my agenda. Having the third annual Jungle Pastors Conference last year was never on my agenda. The first annual Jungle Pastors Conference was not on my agenda. And yet, probably best week of my life every year. Best week of the year.
Let me ask y'all, do you see the joy of the Lord in Kelly's face? You see that? I found myself watching her smile sometimes, and I just wanted to do a freeze frame. Because it's the joy of the Lord. Yeah. It is truly the joy of the Lord. I felt really impressed, Kelly. And by the way, I wish you'd get the book. I mean, just get it. It just tells these stories. And just the glory of God, the glory of God, the joy of the Lord's owner. And read them. Where's your website? If people want to know where you're going to be singing, where you're going to be teaching, what kind of material you've got, where would they go?
That's just kellymentor.com, so just my name.
All right, and then this group that does this mission outreach down there, if you say, hey, we might want to go down there with the crocodiles.
I'll bring you to Amazon. Yes.
But if you want to know about this ministry, you say, could we help them in some way? What's the name of the ministry?
JusticeAndMercyInternational.org.
And that would be the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay. JusticeAndMercyInternational.org.
All right, and if you're impressed in any way, you go to that website and you help them. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt really impressed a while ago while you were talking about what you said to that boy. Mm-hmm. That I want to say it. I want to say it to everybody out here. I want to say it to every one of you. You really need to hear God telling you how important you are to His kingdom purpose, and how important your life is, how special you are, how uniquely you've been created. And He wants to do something through your life that you can't even imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing I think God really wants you to hear. He wants you to know that in Christ and Christ in you, He is fully pleased. He loves you. He wants to love others through you. He wants there to be a river flowing through you, a river of life and love. If you would just right where you are say, God, I believe You've chosen me. You gave Your Son for me. I want You to come into my life. And I want to be different. I want to be changed by Your power. Would you just tell Him that? And then would you dial that number? And call us, and I want to send you a book that is really about your new life that you have in Christ, knowing God as Father. It's a simple Bible. So it tells a little bit of my story, but then we get you into the Word. And just say, I want that because I believe God touched me. You're so special to Him. He loves you. Mm-hmm. Would you do that? Kelly, I want to say thank you. And I want to remind everybody watching, this book is available. Would you join Betty and me again telling Kelly thank you? Thank you for being a witness. Thank you for your wonderful talent. And Kelly, you know, we got something here that we're going to give everybody that would like to have it. Children at the Well. This is one of those really beautiful little books. And you can feel the little fur, and it's just like a fur on the cow. Mm-hmm. It's a touchy-feely book, and it inspires people to love. I want to send this to you. Mm-hmm. And then this incredible book, Women at the Well, 32 Refreshing Devotions. Our daughter, Robin, that is with the Lord in heaven, she wrote the greatest job in all the world. And she wrote about being a mother. Mm-hmm. And a wife. It's powerful. Beth Moore's in here. So, Lisa Bevere, many that you love. We want to send these things to you to bless you, but here's what I want to ask you to do. Join me and Betty, because we give a well every time we have the opportunity. Would you help us finish drilling another 500 wells? Would you do it? And we need 68 in Angola, where they've just had an awful drought, and we've got a matching grant that if you'll help us right now, any gift you give, toward those wells there, it'll be matched. And this is our last week. We need your help. I want you to watch closely and see if you don't want to meet the need that's addressed right here. Watch it closely and prayerfully.
There are certain stories which must be told. They must be told because something must be done. Scenes which scream for intervention. The desperation that Angola's drought has created for Dominguez is one of them. But desperation is not a word which can adequately describe her circumstances. In fact, we are finding that no words can. We cannot sufficiently describe the need of Dominguez's small family. We simply must show you. you may not fully understand the nature or effects of waterborne diseases. But you probably understand that these children will not survive much longer with this as their only water. Something must be done.
You know, as I watched that, I found myself saying immediately, I'll tell you one thing. There's going to be a well there. You tell those little kids, got you a well. And as I was thinking that, I kind of felt a check in my heart. No, there's somebody watching somewhere right now. Give them a well. And I want you to have that sense, all right? They got a well. So say it and mean it and do it and call and say, I'm paying for the well. But here's the thing, Betty. That's a picture of hundreds of places where we've got that same image over and over and over, hundreds of times a day. And we want to give them a well too. So I'm asking everybody watching to help us complete the 500 wells. And the 68 we've targeted for Angola, where they are just devastated. And we've got a matching gift, a challenge gift to match what you give to help us with those 68 wells. Betty, I'm believing that everybody out here watching would say and feel what I felt. Okay, I want to do that. And they'll, if they can't give the well, they'll at least give a part of it or give the $48 to give 10 people or 144 to give 30. I just believe everybody has that feeling that I had as I looked at those little old cups, that filthy water,
yeah,
and said, I want to correct it.
You see these precious children, you said, I want to give them a well so they can have water. And like James said, that's just one place that needs a well, because without the clean water, many more children like these little ones that are so precious in the sight of God, they're going to die too. If we don't get the fresh water to them, they'll keep going back to the only source they have. Well, let's give them a choice. Let's give them another source of living water. Please join with us.
And what I'm going to ask you to do is just go to the phone. Many people have called in and they trust in Christ. They're saying, pray with me. I've told you this many times. It's not an exaggeration. If we had 200 people call and say, I'm going to help you with a well, we'll have 2,000 call to get help. That's a typical day. 80% of our calls are people calling to either give their life to God, get right with God, pray, or we need help. And then some will call to say we can help. Praise God, because we want to help you. I'm asking you right now if you'll do this. Just get a bank card, and I pray you do it. I wish you'd feel like I want to run to do it. Get your bank card, dial that number, write it down, call until you get through in case people are calling to give their life to Christ or saying, I want to help too. But call and then make the largest gift you can. If you can give a well, please do. Give a part of a well, do it. Whatever you can give, $48, $144, that's huge. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can go there and make the gift. If you write a check, make it to Life, but please call us and tell us what you're sending in. We have to know so we can tell the missionaries, those who are drilling the wells, yes, we can cover that area. Thank you for making it. It's a wonderful life-giving call, and this is the last week. We have some gifts for you, but you are giving the gift of life. In love, you're doing it, and I thank you for it. I pray every one of you watching will do what God's put on your heart.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or face death from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill new water wells for those in need, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. And now, because of a miracle opportunity of a matching gift of over $326,000 for 68 new wells targeted in drought-stricken Angola, your gift can be doubled. with your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
This mother has four children. Last summer, a year ago, they had an outbreak of intestinal disease from contaminated water. Two of her children got very, very sick. Now she's got a little baby, just a few months old, and this baby is living on her mother's milk. This baby's nursing. But Betty, pretty soon, this little baby's gonna be drinking that water. And oftentimes, it takes their lives.
It really does, James, and they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful, and Mama just cuddling her and taking care of her, and she makes little sounds of life. But you know, I don't know how long those little sounds of life will be if we don't do something to help them. We can make the difference by doing the water wells and giving them a fresh cup of water.
I'd like you to be one of the hands. Reach out and dial the telephone number and take your bank card and use it like a check, or write a check and make it to life and say, I want to give life to children like this and keep them healthy. Well, Betty and I join together saying thanks in behalf of the missionaries and all the families and children you'll help, because I'm believing we're going to get those wells. Kelly Minter, what a blessing she is. Would you like to tell her a great big thank you again? Thank you, Kelly, for your radiance, for your joy, and get the story. And there's her website again. Check it out. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
Tomorrow, Beth Moore explains the power of God's grace in our lives.
And grace is not our permission to stay, it's our power to go.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.